Praise the Lord. Greet you all this morning in the precious name of Jesus. Thankful to be here with you all again this morning. Let's go, Lord, in prayer. Our Father, we come before you this morning and we thank you for your goodness and for your mercy. Lord, we thank you, Father, that you are faithful. Lord, that you can be trusted. We thank you, Father, for the grace that you give us, that we can trust you, that we can actually have our faith and trust in you, Lord. We thank you again for all that you do for us. Fill us with your Spirit. Give us wisdom. Help us to be faithful to you. Open our hearts and minds to your word. Lord, help us apply it to our souls and our lives. Again, we thank you in Jesus' precious name. Amen. All right, 'tis so sweet to trust in Jesus there. Yeah, I find usually that the simplest things are where God dwells. It's amazing that we just look at life, we look at creation, we look at everything, and just the simplicity that, you know, there we can go as complex as you want when you look at all those things, but just the simplicity of the fundamentals of God, the simplicity of Christ. You know, when we look at his teachings or we hear his words, whenever we can just watch him teaching, he didn't teach to the super educated, although they could understand him. The way he spoke was as simple and put things as plain as they could be, as they needed to be. And it was, the Bible tells of that it confounded the wise. And a lot of times the people who are supposed to know stumble at his teachings, and yet they're available to all. And it's just so neat that if we in our lives, they become so complicated, we get so wrapped up in all kinds of things and things going on around us, and trying to figure it out, trying to wrap our minds around all the things, and we spend all our time just chasing our tails. It doesn't bring peace. And yet, 'tis so sweet to trust in Jesus, just to take him at his word. And that is one of the things that's so profound about the Lord. You know, it's not a complex thing. We make it too complex. We make it too hard. We make it too difficult. We become too wise in our own understandings. And yet, just the simplicity. Jesus talked about those coming to him as a little child. And I think that's what he meant. That they weren't trying to figure things out. They weren't trying to understand all things. They trusted. And if we could just get a hold of that and stay a hold of it, and we could live our lives simply trusting in the Lord. 'Tis so sweet to trust in Jesus. That is, people go to Bible studies and Bible schools. They grow up with the Bible. They grow up learning and understanding and knowing all these things. And yet, and then someone just comes along and just trust. And it just is so simple. Anyway, I want to read this morning in first chapter of Romans. Beginning in verse 16. It says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, that is, as it is written, but the righteous man shall live by faith." I want to start right here. Just go along with what the boys were asked, how they can be a light to this world. You know, we can put a lot of thought into it and try to figure everything out or try to plan things, how we can live just right or make all the best intentions of how we ought to act. But the faith is spread from faith to faith by someone who has faith. We can teach a religion. All kinds of people in the world do that. They can have a religion. They can have a creed. Something to live by. But the most unique thing in the world is that simple thing that we talked about just a little earlier. Someone that just has faith. It's so refreshing in the world. The righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith. You know, there's a lot of things going on in the world. A lot of things going on in our country. A lot of people are scared. A lot of people are wondering how we can vote this way or we can vote that way or we can get the right politician into office or whatever and change things. Well, the only way that we can change things is right here where we're at. Right where you are. The Bible talks a lot about being the light of the world, the salt of the earth. And it talks about people that when the salt hath lost its savor, it says the earth, or the salt is cast out and to be trodden under the feet of men. It's become worthless. We see principles that of God in the Bible that we goes back to Abraham. Whenever Abraham was met by the angels and the angels told him about how he was going to destroy the land of Sodom and Gomorrah. All the wickedness that was going on there, and God was going to destroy it. And sometimes we think that, well, it's the wickedness. That's what's going to cause God to rain His fire upon the world. It's because of men's wickedness. But we hear, we see in Abraham's prayer, or his request, Abraham asked, said, if there's 50 righteous people in there, will you destroy Sodom and Gomorrah? He was told, no, I won't destroy it. He said, well, what about if there's 5 lacking in that number? If there's only 45? And he said, no, I won't destroy it if there's that many there. And he went down the list until he got down to 10. If there's 10 righteous people there, will you destroy it? And God said, no. And we find and realize that there wasn't 10 righteous people there. We think of preserving the world around us, preserving our nation, preserving anything. The way we preserve that is we start with ourselves. The way we preserve the world, the way that we are a light to the world, is that we preserve ourselves. And as we read in these verses here, it's not because you have the right creed, because you're a member of the right church, because you hang around with the right people. It's passed from faith to faith. And that song that we sang, repeat it again. 'Tis so sweet to trust in Jesus. Can you just see the peace in that and the rest in that? You know, if there's anything the world needs today, is peace. And I'm not talking about between nations where they don't fight anymore. But I'm talking about peace for each man and each woman. It's an uncommon thing in this world to see someone that's full of peace. That's full of rest. That's just trusting in Jesus. Isn't it so sweet to see that? Isn't it so uncommon? And I'll tell you what another thing it is. It's contagious. Because when people see that, that rest, that calmness, that peace, they want to be near it. They want to be a part of it. That's how the faith is spread. You know, we can have the right doctrines, we can have the right teachings, and we should follow them and should believe them. Should be the guide of our life. But it should be centered around peace and trust and faith and rest. Aren't those beautiful words? Peace, faith, rest. It's words we all love. We all like the thought of them. The simplicity of trusting in Jesus. We live in a world that's so unlike that. If you hear things on the radio or the news programs or you read in the paper, the headlines aren't about trust and faith and peace. The headlines are something that's going to unsettle you. And it's hard to listen to that all the time when our faith and rest is not totally secure where it's supposed to be, and it affects us. It really bothers our peace sometimes to the point that a lot of times we become frustrated with what's going on around us. We become discouraged with what's going on around us. We become angry sometimes with what's going on around us. But those are not faith, peace, and rest. That's a whole other thing that the whole world has. We're looking for that peace, trust, faith. No, we can't stick our heads in the sand and just ignore the world. It's around us. But if we let it unsettle us or turn us upside down, we can do it no good at all. We need to be able to have that rest and peace right in the middle of a storm. And then people will notice. You know, some of the times, I don't know, I was on an airplane or getting ready to fly out of somewhere one time. There was a delay. And there was another delay. And there was another delay. And for some reason, I'm not saying it's this way all the time, but for some reason, I was prepared to just allow whatever happens, happens. And so I was calm. I even had rest and was just at peace. Just over and over again, we just think we're ready, and then there was a delay. And I was just standing, waiting. And a man came up to me and said, "Oh, you just make me so mad. You're just so peaceful. It stood out. Everybody was just fuming and mad and going up to the desk and hollering and screaming and yelling. But someone being at rest and at peace stood out. You know, we have a calming effect on other people. And that's what light is all about. And that's what salt is all about. Is that the way we are has an effect on the people around us. We can, you know, we see people stirring up others, getting them into a frenzy, and a riot takes place, and people all around just join the riot and the mob, and it just gets bigger and bigger, and all kinds of things, bad things happen. We can have the same effect on people with peace and rest. You know, that's one thing that convinces me. This talks about, I'm not ashamed of the gospel. It's the power of God's salvation to everyone. And it says, for the righteousness of God is revealed. It's revealed. One of the things that convinces me most that there's a God in heaven is that there is evil in the world. Because just as far as evil can go, goodness can go. There's a goodness. Because there's evil, we can recognize goodness. It's just which part of the world or which direction we allow our souls to be persuaded. Which part of the world, which direction we want to guide those who are around us. We can get all frustrated and angry and upset with the world and the mob. Now we read about where Jesus said to turn the other cheek, to forgive, to go the extra mile. You know, whenever we think about the gospel, the things that Jesus taught were teaching us that there's an average and there's a way that the world reacts to everything. And then there's a people that's able to overcome the world by not being all caught up in it. We go through it. We go through the same things that everyone else does. But we can go through it, and instead of getting angry when someone takes advantage of us, we can forgive them and rise above it and turn the tide the other direction. 'Tis so sweet to trust in Jesus. And there again, the simplicity of what it means to actually have the faith that we can pass on to someone else. Years ago, I don't know what we were going through, but there was a man just came up to me and he patted me on the back and he said, "You're a rock." And that's probably one of the biggest compliments I've ever received. A rock. You know, sometimes you call somebody a rock, they might get offended. Maybe that's what he was talking about. He thought how smart I was about like a rock. I don't know. But the way I took it was that it was just calm and steady. And I've just tried to be that. I've not done a super job of it all the time, but for the most part, that's what I want to be. And that rock represents to me as just a peace, a rest, and a faith. Not getting tossed by every little thing that comes along. Not being swayed here or there, but to just be steady. 'Tis so sweet to trust in Jesus. That's where that comes from. Just simply trusting. Resting. Having peace. Faith that can be spread around. Faith that can be contagious. Faith that people can just rest in. That's real. For it is the righteousness of God. For in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith. As it is written, but the righteous man shall live by faith. We are called to be the salt of the earth, the light of the world. The way we have that, the very foundation of that, is this simple faith and trust. I want to read a little poem by Roger Kiplinger. Been encouraged by it many times. It says, if you can keep your head when all around about you are losing theirs and blaming it on you, if you can trust yourself when all men doubt you, but make allowances for their doubting too. You know, we live in a time that you're either on one side or you're on the other. You're either for me or against me. That in itself shows us how little of men we are. How little of a man we are, or a person, or a human being. You know, I'm going to read this other verse. It says, For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth in unrighteousness. Because that which is known about God is evident within them, for God has made it evident to them. The wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth and unrighteousness. That sums up religion right there. We have all kinds of truth. We have all kinds of right doctrine. We have all kinds of theology. But we're so intolerant of anybody that would believe a little bit different. We draw lines. We have this denomination, that denomination, and it divides us. That's suppressing the truth. That's suppressing the simplicity in faithfulness, in just having faith and trust. Doesn't mean, oh, everybody's right. We're just so liberal, we just accept everybody. No. When we can stand for something and still allow for someone else not believing the way I do, that makes us the bigger person. We kind of think that, oh, I've got to be against everybody because they don't believe the way I do. And we just completely miss out on the simple things You know, it takes strength to be able to let someone disagree with you. I just look back in my life so many times where I've had to take a step, where something I might have been taught all my life, and I just realized I was wrong. And I had to change the way I think. And one of the first things that usually, the first temptations we have whenever we learn something new, is to begin to criticize or condemn or shun ourselves from the people who were like I was just last week. To continue to grow in the faith is to realize that there are people that where I was, that are where I was several years ago. And I need to have the grace, the courage, and the strength to allow them to grow. We're so quick not to be man enough to let someone be where we used to be. It just takes a lot of courage to do that. If you can trust yourselves when all men doubt you, but make allowance for their doubting too. Realize that we're all made of the same materials, that God created us all, and the thoughts that we have are common to all men, good, bad, or evil. We're all capable of them. We're all capable. You know, I was going to read some of the rest of this in Romans 2, of the delusion, the corruption, the ugliness, the confusion that comes upon men. But we're all susceptible to that. We're all capable of it. We're all capable of being deluded. We're made of the same stuff. We all run on the same track. God's just offered to all of us to rise above it, to come up a little higher. And when we get a little higher and we start looking down our nose, we start sinking real fast. Anyway, I'll read a little more of this. If you can wait and not be tired by waiting, or being lied about and don't deal in lies, or being hated, don't give way to hating, and yet don't look too good nor talk too wise. If you can dream and not make dreams your master, if you can think and not make thoughts your aim, if you can meet with triumph and disaster and treat those two impostors just the same. We're going through this world and this life. And if we can just keep ourselves steady in that simple faith, that simple trusting, that simple peace and rest, it's amazing how many people we can affect along the way. And when we brighten the little corner where we are, guess what? It sheds a little light a little further out. You know, a light isn't just the little center of it. It shines a light around. And other people can see it. How we lift a nation or a world is be the light right where you're at. And it brightens a little further and someone else gets that light. And it brightens a little further. And it brightens a little further. Just like dropping a rock in a pond. You know, it makes ripples. We have a tremendous impact on the world. And most people are so worried about the outer part of it that they forget that it's just that little part in the center that makes the impact. Those big rings on the outside that everybody wants to see and make big waves and affect everyone else, it's the one in the center that causes all the rest of it. It is so sweet to trust in Jesus. May the Lord add His blessings.
This week, we're supposed to bring an example of how we could walk in the light. And one way that I can walk in the light is just in the shop, just being a light to the customers, just and having a good attitude in my work, and just doing it faithfully and just showing the customers that I care about them.
For me, walking in the light means to follow Jesus' teachings the best I know how and be diligent and be a giver each day.
I think to walk in the light, we need to realize that, you know, the Bible says to love God with all thine heart and your neighbor as yourself, and to realize that sometimes things that we think, you know, our natural way of doing things, we kind of think, you know, well, you know, naturally I'd want to do this, but that we need to realize that maybe that's not the nature that God, you know, made us to have, and that's not our, you know, what He, you know, meant us to, how He meant us to act. And I thought about how we need to look, before we judge people, look, you know, to see what they're going through, and so that I've seen Brother David do that, and he can really tell what's going on in a person's life before he, you know, gives them advice.
For me, I think, well, sometimes that I need a walking in the light. For me, one of the things would be just controlling what I say more, and like if somebody says something or does something, I don't need to just right away try to say something smart or say something just or even of reproof, just to like my little siblings and things, just learn to keep my mouth shut just a little bit more.
This world is a very unsettling place, and there's a lot of things that go on and we hear about and things that happen, but it's not our home, it's not where we stay, so we're just here for a little bit. And I thought we could walk in the light by just doing what we need to do each day and live for others, and because this world isn't where we put our treasure.
To me, walking in the light is just being true to other people and giving them the best, just helping them out.
I think walking in the light each day means, like, we don't have to be just this amazing person, but we need to just do our best each day and be a light to the people around us.
When you walk in the light, you practice mercy and forgiveness.
One way to walk in light is being honest and fair in all your dealings and treating others the same way you want to be treated and just doing the best you can.
I think for me, walking in the light is setting a good example to people that I'm around. I have a lot of younger people that I live with, and I think for me, it's just setting an example to them, even though they are not doing what's right And even when I'm tempted to maybe do some of the things that they're doing, choosing to do what's right, even when it's hard.
Morning, everybody. I'd like to start in Matthew 14, verse 22. Immediately he made the disciples go into the boat and go ahead of him and to the other side while he sent the crowds away. After he had sent the crowds away, he went up on the mountain by himself to pray. And when it was evening, he was there alone. But the boat was already a long distance from the land, battered by the waves, for the wind was contrary. And in the fourth watch of the night, he came to them walking on the sea. When the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were terrified and said, "It is a ghost," and they cried out in fear. Immediately Jesus spoke to them, saying, "Take courage, it is I, do not be afraid." Peter said to him, "Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water." And he said, "Come." And Peter got out of the boat and walked on the water and came to Jesus. But seeing the wind, he became frightened, beginning to sink. He cried out, "Lord, save me." Immediately Jesus stretched out his hand and took a hold of him and said to him, You have little faith, why did you doubt? When they got into the boat, the wind stopped. And those who were in the boat whispered him, saying, "You are certainly God's son." I want to talk about faith. About Peter had faith to, like, he could walk on the water to God, or to Jesus, I mean. But seeing the winds and the waves, he took his eyes off Jesus and began to sink, like the way kind of the world is today. How the government seems really powerful, and we could drift away from God. But if we just keep our eye on Jesus and his commandments, we'll be all right. He was scared that he thought the waves and the wind was bigger than Jesus, and he just lost faith and began to sink. But if we just keep our eyes and mind and everything on Jesus, we'll be all right. And just kind of stuck out to me how everybody's frightened of the government, what they can do, about what Biden can do and all this stuff. But if they can't do nothing to our, they can do stuff to our bodies, but they can't do nothing to our souls and mind if we keep our faith and love in Jesus. But, well, that's all I had for this morning. So, thank you.